International break means holidays for some, but not completely for us on FPL Pod. We try to avoid letting Jules brag about his score. We check in on the run-in strategy and we start to build a potential wildcard squad. Yes, hello guys, another international break, but of course we haven't gone anywhere in terms of the podcast, at least a few of us on our holidays, but we're still back with you. Kelly Summers, Julian Aron and Sam Bonfield. And Sam, I'm going to let you speak first before Mr. I did really well last week because I remembered the deadline speaks.
Yeah, I was really annoyed the first time he's remembered the deadline in blimmin' ages, and then and gets absolutely smashes it. Yeah, annoyingly, I think we helped him too much last week. Cal was like, all that talk of like the players to get on wildcard. He seemed to get loads of them. But yeah, it was actually a good week for me. Like I had a decent week, a nice green arrow, Elanga proving to be an absolute hero. So even with the captaincy blank, it was still good. And my defence actually for once doing a really nice job. The double Arsenal defence coming in nicely and Timber picking up 3 bonus points was very much an added bonus. Obviously Robinson also picking up a bonus point, which was good as well. The Palmer thing was just infuriating though, because had I known he was injured, I definitely would have sold him ahead of the deadline.
I think so many more people would have, wouldn't they?
Would have done Palmer to Bruno. And I was quite close to doing that anyway on Saturday morning when I got up. I was like, well, maybe I should just take the risk and take the -4 and do it. But in the end, decided not to, just because, you know, I wasn't convinced that selling Palmer for a -4 was exactly the right thing. But on reflection, then when we hear, oh, he's not actually even in the squad, I was like, oh, it's an opportunity missed. So at least the legend that is Seth Vandenberg was back from his injury and could come on for a 1-point cameo. So the only time I've ever been delighted by a 1-point cameo. But yeah, 58 points for me, a nice green arrow. So I'm happy.
It was almost worse for me that I was so well set, because I had those 2 free transfers. And at the very last minute, I was so close. I was texting the guy that produces the fantasy show and a couple of other friends. And I've promised myself I won't keep doing -4s just before the deadline. But I was so close to doing it for Bruno. And I thought, no, because I've promised myself I won't. But yeah, Palmer. I got Greaves' 0 points off the bench. So there are tales of, I want to say woe, but I didn't have a disastrous game week. I was vaguely happy with it. And then I saw your score, Jules. Take it away.
Thank you very much. I had to wait for my time so I can brag now. 78 points, which is by far the best week I've had. Let's be honest, I haven't had a good season, but pretty much everything that I tried worked, including trouble up on United players for this game against Leicester. We said that Leicester hadn't been playing really well, so it was a good opportunity there. Bruno was a given, as we explained on last week's show. Then I wanted a defender because I wanted to sell Van Dijk. So I went for Diogo Dalot, who for a long time in that game got a little bit frustrated until obviously the assist. And then Garnacho was the third one. I wasn't sure if I would go for Garnacho or another attacking midfielder somewhere else, really. And I just felt, again, because it was Leicester and because United were on decent form, to be fair, and slightly improving even, like Garnacho could make sense too. I like him when he plays in that kind of inside 10 formation behind whoever the striker is. And to be fair, he worked out well with Bruno captain as well. That got me 34 points. And then my fourth transfer was Evanilson, which was not the best idea I had. Although, to be fair, he should have scored in the first half. He has one big chance. Didn't score. So in the end, he's still very, very good.
You got lucky though, really, because you're wildcarding, right? So because you're wildcarding, you could go for 3 Man United in it, not necessarily be an issue moving forward, whereas most people couldn't do that.
Yeah, although I'm rethinking about keeping the wildcard for 31, which we will discuss later on the show, simply because the team looks good now, even with the 3 United players. They play Forest, but I think you could easily see a 0-0 draw between those two, because Forest would defend well and United creating against top teams as They've struggled really this season. So I'm still quite tempted to keep certainly Bruno and Dalot and sell for that game.
Yeah, I think I'm going to hold the wild card as well. Like when you look at your team, actually, it kind of, my team didn't look so bad either, to be honest. Sam, I just want to mention one little thing, because on the pod last week, I didn't know what my transfer was going to be. But when we found out more about Trent, I was like, I'm going to sell him. And I was going to bring in Williams as well, because I wanted to really downgrade. But then all of the articles here, you know what's coming, head in our hands if you're listening to this as a podcast rather than on YouTube. I then thought, well, actually, Milenkovic's goal threat is so good. And all of the stats, there were some really good articles on the Premier League and things like that. So I was like, I'm just going to spend that little bit more and go for Milenkovic. And I thought you'd done the same. We didn't speak. But then I checked, not we didn't speak because there was a problem. I just mean, I didn't text you about it. Because I was like, I don't want to look like I've copied her, because I genuinely haven't. And I was going going to go Williams. Then I saw you'd gone Williams, and I was jealous at first. I was like, I wish I should have done that. And then you didn't. And then Milenkovic got a goal and assist. So how are you feeling about that is basically what I want to say.
I was really hoping you weren't going to mention that. I wasn't.
No, not a chance. You had Alanga, so it was okay, I guess.
Yeah, I was hoping that we'd just talk about Alanga and skirt over everything else that happened at Forest.
No, you came on this podcast and said you were doing it and didn't do it.
Yeah, you said that.
And when Jules does that, we hammer him. So we only right.
So I was really torn on all three of the Forest defenders. I think I said that last week, like whether to spend a bit more and go for Aina, whether to go middle ground and go for Milenkovic, whether to go with the cheapest option and go for Williams. So honestly, what happened on Friday, I was like, right, I'm going to do some maths. And because I know I want to reinvest in Palace for game week 30. So I was like, I need to make sure that I've got enough money that if Mateta's back, I can afford him, but also I can take a -4 and get Munoz as well. So I wanted to make sure that if I wanted both of those two players, I could have them both for this week. And with Milenkovic, I was 0.1 short. So I decided to go for Williams because, as we said with the stats last week, the underlying numbers for Williams and his goal threat had been far better than Milenkovic's over the course of the season. So I was like, well, it doesn't feel like a massive compromise to spend the money on Williams instead of Milenkovic. Until I was listening to that Forest game and then Milenkovic gets a goal and an assist. And I was like, this is going to, and at that point they were still keeping a clean sheet. I was like, this is going to be like an 18 point haul for him. And I was sort of okay with it because Williams was getting a clean sheet and obviously I had Alanga. But when the clean sheet went, I had an absolute rage. I won't lie. I was not happy at all on Saturday afternoon. But yeah, that's why it was simply a budget thing.
And we also got the captaincy wrong, didn't we? But let's go over that.
But also we knew that Bruno was the right captain, but we didn't have him. So like we said last week, if you've got Bruno, he's the captain to have. And had he been in my team, I'd have captained him. But to be honest, because I didn't have Bruno, the only person I really looked at was Chris Wood. I never really thought about going anywhere else. As it happens, there were a lot of other places I could have gone to in my team that would have done better. But yeah, I think Bruno was the obvious captain. So well done if you brought him in and had him as captain.
Okay, just a recap of our scores for the week then. Jules got 78 points. I got 50 points. Ian got 67, but took a -8, so ended on 59. Sam, you got 58. Sam is still out in the lead on 1911. I'm on 1862. Jules is on 1820. So there's 42 points between myself and Jules now. I'm confident. You've got your assistant manager over me though, Jules, haven't you?
Yeah, I still have to play, yeah? Yeah.
Cannot let you beat me. I'm getting slightly twitchy. I've been for ages gunning for Sam, and now I'm being a bit realistic looking over my shoulder. I need you to get a few more deadlines, please. I can't be beaten by someone that misses deadlines as often as you do.
Okay, I've been only twice this season. It's been still pretty
twice
good
in
for
three
my
weeks.
Standards.
Mm. I know, twice true. In 3 weeks.
Life was too busy.
Okay then, that's how we're doing in our mini league, but the FPL Pop mini league, Max Littleproud is back at the top. It's great because it's constantly changing between him and Charlie. The fact that he's top is quite impressive because he did also captain Chris Wood. And of course, as we've just discussed, he was a blank. He had Bruno as his vice captain, which must be incredibly painful. But also, I'm sorry, if you're going to have Bruno and not captain him last week against Leicester, then you kind of deserve it, Max. Who am I getting cocky with the person that's at the top of our mini league? I don't know, really. He also got returns for Bowen and Bemo and Robinson. Oh, and Gabriel and Wissa as well. Charlie has dropped to second. He had a bit of a tough week, didn't he? 43 points, took a -4, which means that Max is now 4 points above him. Andrea, Casper, Henry and Michael all rose massively in the league this week as they captained Bruno, just like Jules. They went up to third, fourth and fifth and sixth even in the league, respectively. A reminder, if you still haven't joined it, what are you doing? I read this code every week. I know it in my sleep. Q7YCO0 if you do want to join in with the fun. Okay, then we've already mentioned the W button, the wild card button. Sam has said she's not playing it as originally planned. A few weeks ago, she was going to be playing it in 30. She's decided to play it, I'm thinking in 31 or maybe after. We'll ask her in a second. Jules has said he's going to play it in 31. So am I. The reason for me is very simple. My team looks all right. I don't have massive changes. I've still got a few decisions to make. Jules, you're in a similar boat to me. You like the look of your team. You took a -4. I'm guessing you just want to ride it out another week?
Yeah, exactly. And then I guess the closer you are to 32, which is the first double game week, there will be back-to-back double game weeks, 32 and 33. Then the closer you can use a wild card, the better it is because you know exactly the players you will target. If you do it in 30, there's a risk that they can get injured in 30 before 31, etc. So if you can have your team as it is for game week 30 and then wait until 31 to play your wild card and then be ready, or even for 32 if you don't want to play your assistant manager chip. For me, because I will play the assistant manager chip in 32 and 33 and 34, obviously to make the best use of the double game weeks, then it makes sense to wait a little bit and play the wild card for 31 and then be ready after that with my assistant manager.
Yeah, it makes total sense when you put it like that, Jules. But we know that international breaks are incredibly popular times to play wild cards. I often like playing them over this period. You have that little bit longer. But Sam, it's also quite strange, isn't it? Because we are used to coming back from an international break and having Premier League action straight away. But we've also got the FA Cup that weekend too. And the first round of Premier League is the week after. So if you are wild card, you've got even longer.
Yeah, because it's a midweek round of fixtures, right? So it'll be a Tuesday deadline for game week 30. That's the only thing that puts me off the wild card in 31 is that Tuesday deadline, and then you've got to get ready for the Saturday. So it's just going to be a short turnaround with that wild card, less time to think about it. Whereas obviously if you do it now, you've got loads of time to think about it and you can still react to the FA Cup. So I don't know why I still was quite torn on it. I think the fact that you're probably going to get some information about when those rescheduled fixtures are going to go. I was kind of intrigued by what Jules said, though, because it obviously means you're not planning to free hit in game week 34 for the blank if you're going to assistant manager in 32, 33 and 34. So your wild card is going to have to be set up to cover that blank game week with players that you have in.
Yeah, because the thing is, we don't know yet who's going to blank either. So depending on how it turns out to be, you might be okay with your team and you can build your wildcard team knowing who's going to blank and who's not going to blank. So that should be easier than if it was maybe made in a different way. That's why I was a bit more optimistic. I just think I would rather wait until as late as possible to play the wildcard for the two double game weeks to try to benefit as much as possible from the two double game weeks back to back. And again, we won't know until the FA Cup has been being played, who's going to double and who's not going to double, and last same with the blanks. So that was the only reason, because originally my plan was to do that. But I can also keep the free, for example, for game week 36, which will be another double game week, potentially quite a big one. And then if you have your free hit left for that, you can play it then and be very effective with it.
I guess it's also quite useful that actually by the game week 30 deadline, we will have seen the FA Cup. So flip what I said before about it being even longer till we have Premier League action. By the time we do next have a deadline, we will actually know a lot more about that blank sandwich, which actually helps. So I almost wonder if maybe after that FA Cup weekend, we could see maybe a few wildcards active or people change their strategy after that weekend before the next deadline.
Would not surprise me if we see a sudden spike in wildcards being played on Sunday evening. Like, once we know exactly who's blanking in the FA Cup, and then obviously who's also going to have a double a little bit later on, then it wouldn't surprise me to see a massive spike in them. I think it goes back to what you and Joel said before, though, is that most people will open the app or the website, depending upon how you do it, and we'll look at their team for this week and go, "Ooh, actually, that looks quite nice," because the majority of people that we targeted in game week 29 actually still have a nice fixture in game week 30. So it will give us the opportunity, I think, to kind of just take a bit of a breath. And obviously, the longer you leave it with the wildcard, the more information that you have. And it's not just information about the FA Cup, it's information about players like Palmer, even players like Saka, who hasn't been on our radar for such a long time, but at some point we're expecting him to come back. So the longer you can wait, you'll get more information, not just on the FA Cup and who's doubling, and hopefully before game week 31, when they're doubling, because that will also make a difference as well. If those fixtures are going into game week 33, if they're going into 32, if they're going into 36, all of that might change the way that you use the wildcard, because obviously the wildcard you're setting it up for a few weeks, but you're not setting it up to never change it again. So you would want to make sure that if those doubles come in earlier than we were maybe planning, that you've been able to target them and then change them up for the weeks that follow. So yeah, I think it's useful. The FA Cup being there is really handy. You're just going to get more information again if you wait for 31, but I think you could absolutely play it Sunday night. And it, obviously, of course, if there's any international break injuries, then you can react to those as well.
I guess the key, particularly for you, Jules, in terms of using the assistant manager chip, is you've got to remember that you've got 3 weeks for the assistant manager chip, plus your wildcard chip, plus your bench boost, plus your free hit. So you've got 6 game weeks where you're going to have a chip in play, and you've got to make sure that you use your assistant manager at the right point, that it doesn't cover a 3-week period the way you'd maybe want to use your free hit, for example, as Sam said before.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, for me and for all, I guess all the listeners who still have that assistant manager chip, really the two double game weeks in 30 to 33 makes so much sense, right? Because you you should target that. So it's either you play it from 31, so 31, 32, 33, and then you can have your free hit, for example, for the blank in 34. And then you play your wild card, in my case, in 30. And that's very possible too. Or you just wait a little bit for the wild card, play your assistant manager chip 32, 3, and then 4. I know it's a blank, but still. And then use then bench boost and free hit for later the double game week, for example, in 36. You can keep the free hit for 38, like Sam usually says, to have a lot of fun on the last game of the last day of the season, game week of the season. So there's a lot of things you can do. So it's how you feel about the assistant manager chip, really, because this is the key. Wherever you use it now, 32, 33, I think is a given. So it's either 31 or 34 to go with 32 and 33. And then you can adjust for the other chips that you have left, really, and same for the wild card. So yeah, I think it's, I'm not sure if there's one much better than the other, to be fair.
Jules, you and I actually have just realised I listed your chips then, but you've got triple captain like me as well, haven't you? Because us two do and Sam doesn't. Or did you triple captain in the end? I've forgotten.
No, I used mine already, yeah.
Salah in the last double, didn't he?
Yeah.
Forgot.
Yeah,
okay. So I've got triple captain over you and you've got assistant manager over me. Sorry, I really am looking over my shoulder now. Yeah,
play,
you can tell.
Play well. Pressure.
Yeah. okay, we'll move on from this because it's really hard to kind of talk too much about chip strategy because everyone's teams are so different. And now we've got another chip in the game in the assistant manager as well. Everyone's scenario is so different. But just do what's best for your team and just make sure you remember the assistant manager goes across 3 game weeks and make the most of those doubles. Basically, look at the doubles, work out how your team looks in those and work out which is the best chip to use in each. Don't kind of get caught short when they come. And a reminder that the FA Cup is before the next round of Premier League action. And don't worry too much if you decide on the Sunday night to actually play wildcard or another chip. It's never too late. Okay, then, talking of wildcards, over the next couple of pods, because we've got a couple of pods. In fact, Sam, have we got 3 pods before the next deadline?
Yeah, this one, one on Thursday next week, and then one the following Monday. We'll be constantly busy.
You know, they say sometimes there's too much.
Well, I need to put that in diary.
A good thing.
3! I've got the diary out.
It's Thursday this week, Jules. It's Thursday next week. And then it's Monday. It's actually writing in his diary if you're not watching on YouTube. So, as I said, sometimes you can have too much of a good thing. And I'm wondering if we're teetering on that. But it does give us plenty of opportunity to really help you with those wild cards. So we're going to focus on today's pod on the defensive positions. So goalkeepers and defenders and who we think are currently the best keepers in the game. There'll be some similarities, I imagine, in our free hit chat that we had in the last pod, but we'll go with it all the same. It's quite nice to take stock at this point of the season as well. So best goalkeepers in the game. There are 5 as it stands who have scored over 100 points. And for me, Jules, you've owned him. Sells has been the best goalkeeper in the game. The points say it. Everything says it. Nottingham Forest has been so good defensively. If you've owned him, it's been a masterstroke as you have.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Ligue 1 legend, as you know. So I'm always cheering for the former, either the French players or the former French top flight players, obviously. But it's great as well to see him at this kind of late stage of his career, really, because that's what it is, being so efficient. They're the best defense in the league. They've kept the most clean sheet, for example, and he's been very good. It's not always perfect, as we saw against Ipswich, which cost us all a clean sheet. Me with him and you girls with Williams and Milenkovic. But still, they've been very solid. And I expect them, as close as the end of the season arrives and they have to grind out some results to make sure that they qualify for the Champions League, which right now, to be honest, for them looks quite likely, to get those, even a 0-0 draw, I think they'd be happy. If they can pick, there's 8 games left or something, like 8 0-0 draws, I think they would take that and I'm sure they would still make the Champions League, for example. So you would expect, I think, again, Forest to be very strong defensively, first and foremost, before even thinking to attack or play in transition, play on the counter, whatever ways, I think they will want to be very solid defensively, first and foremost. So there's more clean sheets to come, even if their fixture schedule is quite tough. To be fair, I don't think it's the easiest, although they are quite higher up in the ticker, whatever it's called.
Yeah, they're 4.
I still think there's a few tricky there. United, Villa, you know, that's not easy. Spurs, you never know. So there's games that won't be easy for them, but I would expect many more clean sheets still.
One thing to also bear in mind, though, is that Nottingham Forest are still in the FA Cup. They play Brighton on Saturday, the 29th of March. So they could still blank in 34. So, Jules, it's okay for you, isn't it? Because you've got Crystal. You've got him and Henderson, haven't you?
Yeah. So potentially.
Oh gosh, yeah. I was going to say, don't worry, you can play your other keeper, but you've got to bear that in mind, haven't you? If you're not free hitting,
but that's
especially
why you play the wild cards, you know, in 30 or 31st, so 31, as we said, with an idea already of what you're going to do for 34. It's all about planning, okay, vision and talent, obviously, as you know.
I wondered how long it was going to take you to say that.
Woohoo! After Stiles, it's Raya, then Pickford, Henderson, who draws Zouzoua, and then Onana. Sam, tell us where you're currently at in best goalkeepers for the rest of the season.
Do we really want my opinion on the best goalkeepers? Because
unfortunately, there's no one else for me to ask.
Yeah,
so
it's just...
Do you want me to get Lee to come back and give his opinion on goalkeepers? I think Sells is up there. And I think this is what you said before, Kels, is an exact example. Because the other thing is that if you've still got your bench boost left and you're going to play that between now and the end of the season, if you are wildcarding, you will need to make sure that you do have a second playing goalkeeper. So you want to either look for a pair of rotating ones so that you can then use them, but then you want them ideally to both have a nice fixture in the week that you're planning to use your bench boost, or you want to pick one goalkeeper like Sells and then have a really cheap second option who's also got a nice fixture in that blank, or in that double rather. So like for me, I'm pondering on playing my bench boost chip in game week 32. So although it's not a huge double game week, I think having wildcarded in 31, that would put me in a really nice position where I could really target in on the teams that have got that double, i.e. Crystal Palace and Newcastle. And then after that, I can afford to strip some money out of the bench and reinvest it back into the starting 11 for the rest of the season, which is something that I always like to do. And obviously, taking money out of the second goalkeeper is ideal. So when I have a look at like the goalkeeper that might be an option there, obviously Sells has as Everton that week, so that's a nice fixture. But then, you know, when you look at other options, like Areola is probably the obvious cheap one, but then he faces Liverpool that week. So how far do we think that he's going to get points? Whereas, you know, maybe I could go for, I don't know, like Brighton have Leicester. So Verbruggen would be quite a nice cheap option to go alongside Sells that week. But then I also quite fancy a little cheeky punt on Nick Pope, because Nick Pope obviously would have a double that week. The fixtures are nice between now and the end of the season. Newcastle are top of the FDR between now and the end. Now, obviously, that is slightly skewed by the fact that they've got a double game week, but only so slightly, because you see Palace are much, much further down on the ticker. And I could then play that maybe even in a later game week, like in 36, like Joel says, that we're expecting to be another double, or even in 33. So Pope is up there definitely in the conversation between now and the end of the season, as they look to really focus in on making sure that they hit Champions League football for the new season and finish as high up as possible in the league.
I own Jordan Pickford and he's owned by almost 19% of the game. But if I check out Everton's fixtures going forward, we know how good Everton are defensively. So much of their success has been built on that, and he gets save points as well, doesn't he? Fulham are the only team that have a harder run in than Everton. Is it time to get rid, Jules, you think, of him on a wild card?
I think it's just difficult, really, when you look at it. Liverpool, Arsenal, Forest, City, Chelsea, before you play Ipswich. This is like the next five are so difficult. And yeah, that doesn't mean they can't get wins and can't get games, some of those games where they don't concede at all and Pickford gets a good 9 points or 10 points hold or things like that. Of course, it's everything's always possible. But you look at this, and with all the other options that you can have, and you can go from Pickford to Pope or to Raya or to Sells or to, you know, whatever you can afford, really, I think there is a better option. If you can't really move away from Pickford because you don't have the budget, you have other positions that you want to change, I think keep him, because it will still be not a bad call, to be fair, because he's Jordan Pickford and because he's Everton, and they can be very good defensively. But those fixtures are still scary.
Who then are the best goalkeepers, would you say, if you were wildcarding now? Sam, you go first.
I think I'd still have Areola as the backup, probably, or maybe Verbruggen if you've got the extra money to spend there. But I think you'd be I'll be choosing between Pope and Sells on wildcard. And part of that, I think I'm leaning more towards Pope, simply because with Sells, I can pick a Forest defender much, much more easily than I can a Newcastle one. And we'll talk about defenders in a minute. But I think the value that you get and the attacking threat that you get out of those Forest defenders would just sway me towards having Pope rather than the defensive double up.
I guess maybe a couple of weeks ago you might have been a little bit more worried about Pope with Dubravka's form, but I get all those concerns gone now, Sam, about his minutes.
Yeah, and I think that's the other thing, isn't it, that for me he is he is their number one goalkeeper. I would expect Pope to play every game till the end of the season, barring an injury or something major happening. And so, yeah, I don't have any concerns about that. Plus, you know, you would have a playing second goalkeeper for now anyway, yeah, just to make sure that you had that for the bench boost anyway.
Jules, your two keepers?
Yeah, I agree with Sam on Pope. I think if you can, that's a really good, that's a good idea. I would not want to double up either now, for have two, one Forest keeper and one Forest defender. Same for Newcastle. I think the points are so valuable now between now and the end of the season. You can't, I think, take the risk of trying to doubling up defensively, because obviously if one goes in, then you lose potentially more points than if you have one Newcastle and one Forest and one Arsenal and one this and one that, etc. So yeah, but I like Sells still, and you don't need to have a Forest defender if you don't want to, and you can have Sells or the other way around. Pope, I like Raya because the fixtures are decent from an Arsenal point of view, really. Fulham, Everton, Brentford, Ipswich, Palace, before Bournemouth and Liverpool. So before you get to Bournemouth and Liverpool, I guess there's some points probably there defensively to be taken from them, again, without doubling up. So it depends really where you're going then into your defenders. And that's why I think we put goalkeepers and defenders very often together.
Wonderful segue. Thank you very much. We've put them of course, in this podcast. There are 13 defenders who have broken the 100-point barrier already this season. It's been quite nice. Some of the attacking defenders have really returned well this season and have been really fun to own. I look at Kirkez. He's not as high up as I expected, but he's had a brilliant season. I've enjoyed owning him at his price point, that's for sure. I do feel like we need to start this conversation with the top scoring defender in the game, Trent Alexander-Arnold, because he is red flag. We don't know exactly when he'll back, but I think Arne Slot's wording was something about around the end of the season or by the end of the season. So it's vague, but it doesn't sound good. Myself and Sam sold him last week. I imagine we'd recommend for everyone to sell him, given how much money he costs. And he is being heavily sold at the moment. But what do you do in general about Liverpool defenders, do you think, Sam?
Oh, that is a good question. I'm not going there, even though they sit quite nicely on the fixture ticker. And even though they have absolutely nothing else to play for, because obviously they're out of the Champions League, they're out of the FA Cup. So, you know, the fact that they're fifth on the fixture ticker and they have a run of fixtures that reads Everton, Fulham, West Ham, Leicester would absolutely, in a normal season, be highly attractive as an FPL asset, right? You'd be like, right, perfect. I'll get Trent, I'll get Virgil. My issue is that they regularly just concede one goal. It's just like the odd goal here or there, where they kind of just appear to go to sleep for a minute and then concede one. And it's so frustrating as an FPL owner, because you look at it and you're like, oh, come on, man, that's like 4 points that you've just cost me, plus the potential for some bonus points. And I think at their value point, they're very expensive. So the only, we didn't mention Alisson in the goalkeepers, but if you really wanted to go with a Liverpool defender, then I'd probably go there. Because for me, yes, Virgil's in a, he's a threat from set pieces, but with Trent not there, I think Liverpool are less good in attack anyway. So I'm going to be avoiding the Liverpool defence, which seems ridiculous given that they're likely to go on to win the league.
And also the fact that they don't have any other distractions, do they? Because all focus now is going to be on the Premier League after a disappointing week for them, Jules. I'm expecting a bit of a wounded animal to come back for this run-in. What about you?
Yeah, probably. Although I think we all expected a reaction after the PSG defeat in the Champions League against Newcastle in the League Cup final, and we didn't see it again. Like they were very poor. Like they were really in the first game against PSG, and to some extent in some of the game in the second leg at Anfield. So I don't know. The next game is the derby, which again, even if it's at home, I think it's still a derby against Everton, and we saw what happened. Sorry, in the reverse fixture with the late Tarkovsky goal and all of that. So this is not going to be easy for them either, and you could expect, I think, Everton to be very strong defensively and to try to nullify Salah again and all the attacking players at Liverpool. So it's not. Yeah, I don't think it's the next few games are easy for them, considering the week that you said, or horror that they had with the Champions League elimination, and then that defeat in the League Cup for a team that usually doesn't lose in finals. So it'd be very interesting to do. I would not go there defensively either. And even going forward with the ball, I'm not sure really, apart from Salah, if you would be ready to invest in Liverpool either.
Okay, so you've both said you're probably going to go with Matt Sells in the Forest goal. And Jules already has mentioned, Sam, that he probably isn't comfortable doubling up with a defender and a Forest goalkeeper. Are you kind of thinking the same?
Yeah, 100%. And I think for me, that's probably why I err on the side of of Pope over Sells in goal, because I really like the Forest defenders. I think their attacking threat is so good. Whether you want to spend the budget that you need to spend on Aina, whether you go for a Williams or whether you go for Milenkovic, they all have really nice attacking threat from different things. So Williams is really good in front of goal. Like, he's got the biggest goal threat of the three of them. I mean, you could go for Murillo as well. Probably shouldn't completely ignore him. He's in the conversation as well. But I think for me, it, a bit like it was last week, it really comes down to a straight choice between Williams and Milenkovic. And so it's just then, which one do you want to go to? Which one can you afford? Like, because there is that little bit of difference in the price point. But both of them offering really, really nice value for money. Forest sitting nicely on the ticker with all to play for towards the back end of the season. Okay, there's potentially the distraction of the FA Cup as they're still in that one. And I think I expect them to go through in the FA Cup, I think, just. So for me, Forest defenders, yes, absolutely. I think on wildcards, I'll probably go for Milenkovic because I can adjust the price that I've got everywhere else so that I can afford to have him, because I think that feels like the right thing to do. But if you've only got the budget for Williams like I did last week, I know that the outcome of that wasn't exactly what I wanted, but it still does make sense to be invested in that Forest defence with him.
Okay, I'm trying to avoid going through every single team, but let's try and look at teams that have been popular defensively. Arsenal, Gabriel is fourth on the list after Alexander-Arnold and two Forest defenders in Aina and Milenkovic. And then after Gabriel, it's actually Saliba as well. Is it still good to be doubled up on the Arsenal defence? I feel like one Arsenal defender is all right, Jules, but how are you feeling on the double up?
Yeah, and like I said, I would not go for two Arsenal defenders or one defender, one keeper at this stage of the season, really. Although you can, if you want to do it, you can have Timber, for example, because it's the cheapest, really, of the options that you have, or Lewis Kelly if you want. But Timber is guaranteed to play a right back, I think, pretty much. Not guaranteed every single game because there will be the Champions League, and I think Ben White now is back to full fitness, so you can see a little bit of rotation maybe right back, but Timber is very solid. The thing with Gabriel, even if he hasn't scored on set pieces for a while, and Arsenal overall, apart from the Merino goal against Chelsea, they haven't been maybe as lethal on set pieces that they were earlier in the season, is still there very much, and they still get a lot of corners or wide free kicks. So you can have Gabriel. If you're in love with William Saliba, like I am, obviously go for William Saliba. He's the most handsome of all those choices that we just mentioned too. And he's from Paris. So there's nothing not to like about William Saliba, really. But I would not choose two of them, really. I would go for just one of them.
There's one thing not to like, the fact that his teammate is 2 points above him in FPL. So you should have gone for Gabriel, really.
He's not everything else that I said about Saliba. So, you know,
it's up to you. Sam, who's the best, in your unbiased opinion, who's the best Arsenal defender?
So I've got Timber right now, and I've enjoyed owning Timber, to be fair. He's been a good own at significantly less than you need to pay for the two, because obviously, I've had him for a long time now. So he's 5.6 in the game, but you've got to pay like 0.8 more for Gabriel, and you've got to pay, 0.6 more to get Saliba. So I think that comes into the conversation. And it, again, it's a price point thing. If money is no object and you can afford any of them, then I'd absolutely have Gabriel as my first choice, because I think the attacking threat that you get with him from set pieces is great. He's also a bit of a bonus point magnet, is Gabriel. So you often find that he'll pick up bonus points when he plays well. So if money's no object, I go for Gabriel. I think I will probably move off Timber on wildcard, simply because, as Joel said, we may get some rotation around that position. Whereas if you've gone for a Gabriel or a Saliba, you know that you're absolutely as solid as you can be in terms of security of start. So frustratingly, if you can't afford the extra point two, then I do agree with what Jules has just said. And I hate that. I think Saliba's like a decent
too much
option.
Agreement on this pod for my life.
It's horrendous. Oh,
78 points this week.
Yeah, but Gabriel, if you can afford him.
Okay, well, we can't talk about defenders without talking about Crystal Palace, as if Sam needs any excuse. She's been desperate to bring Munoz back in. Do I even need to ask if that's still the plan?
I haven't owned him yet. And honestly, girls,
you've been desperate. You've been waiting for this week to get him, haven't you?
Yeah, it's like...
So much. Like, it's like an obsession. Like, I'm actually obsessed with Daniel Munoz. Like, I need him in my team as soon as possible. To the point where last week I didn't bring in Milenkovic because I wanted to get Munoz this week, which is actually mad when you think about it.
Have you made the move already? Or are you waiting for the, please tell me you're kind of waiting for the FA Cup as well.
No, I haven't done anything yet. I'm waiting to see what happens. But to be honest, it's one of those where if he was going to rise in price, I probably would just do it. Because worst case scenario, if I get loads of problems over international break, I just hit the wildcard button and I'm hitting it like two days early. So it's actually not the end of the world. Like, that's the one thing I think with these is that I'm obviously watching for price changes. And if Munoz looks like he's going to go up, then I'll just hit it. But he is 100% the first name in my defensive line on wildcard.
Just to remind everybody about Munoz, he will play with Colombia, obviously, like all South Americans. So just keep an
eye
on him.
That's a really good point, actually, Jules.
We hope that nothing happens to him, that Sam doesn't jinx him or anything. Yeah, you might cry and quit football forever. So yeah, let's hope that him and all the South Americans, all the international players, by the way, who are with the national team, come back to us healthy and safe.
Do you share Sam's love for Palace? Are you going to be bringing in a Palace defender, Jules? Or you've got Henderson, but it sounds like you're going to get rid of him on your wildcard.
Yeah, I might get rid of him. Yeah, I think Munoz is the one really more that Gehi is quite high on that defenders list as well. But I think Munoz is, because he's so attacking and because they, even if they have top fixtures, we said that, so it might not be completely easy. You might not be completely convinced either. You might not share the love that Sam shares for Daniel Munoz, obviously, but I think if there's one...
Why would you not?
Yeah, exactly. Why would you not? All the tattoos and everything, you know, it's
Okay then. So we're loving Crystal Palace and we're particularly loving Daniel Munoz and we're praying that he comes back from international break, not injured. Another player that I mentioned last week, I said we needed to talk about Fulham's Anthony Robinson. He heard me because he finally sorted himself out in blank game week 29, just when we needed him to. But I mentioned Fulham's fixtures before. They're bottom of the fixture ticker. They've got Arsenal, Liverpool, Bournemouth and Chelsea in the next 4 weeks. And of course, they could blank in game week 34. Is this the time to sell, Sam?
Yeah, sadly it is, I think. Like, yeah, I mean, he returned, didn't he, for us nicely in game week 29 against my team, which always seems to happen in a blank game week. What is it with Spurs and Fulham in blank game weeks?
Spurs are trying to help your FPL team out. They can't do both. They want to help your FPL team out, but not help your actual, like...
That's what it was.
I was going to say your mental health, but it probably does affect your mental health, maybe.
Massively. I think Big Ange was like, right, Sam really needs some FPL points this week, so we'll let her have a Robinson clean sheet. Yeah, I think when you look at the fixtures, like Arsenal and Liverpool in the next two does not look great, does it? And then even after that, Bournemouth, Chelsea, it's not really until you get to Southampton, but then it's Villa and it's Everton, Brentford, Man City. Like, that is a horrible end to the season, like when it comes to potential for clean sheets anyway. And whilst Robinson does have the attacking threat, like, we've not talked yet about Kerkez. I mean, we've waxed lyrical about Munoz, so I won't go back there again, but those are also players that have got really good attacking threat but also have more likelihood of a clean sheet. And I think that's the thing, isn't it? You could hold Robinson because he's got the attacking potential and we know that over the course of the season. But realistically, between now and game week 38, you want to be investing in players that have the potential for a massive double-digit haul, and a clean sheet and an attacking return is the best way to get that out of your defenders. So that's why I'd lose Robinson. It will be a sad farewell when I sell him on wildcard, because he has been a fantastic own in FPL this season. But the time is now, sadly.
Agree, Jules?
Yeah, I think so. And again, there are so many really good options. We haven't talked about Livramento, for example, before. We talked about Newcastle and being at the top of the ticker for Pope in goal. But if you don't want to go for Pope and are looking for Newcastle defender, Livramento at 4.5 million, he's in great form. He will play. Okay, he plays on the left when he's right-footed, and right back is probably his a better position for him, but he still could do a very good job there. And I suspect he will be there until the end of the season too. So he's guaranteed to start pretty much every time. And I think, considering the fixture that Newcastle have going forward, you know, I think Livramento at that price, 4.5 million, is really, really cheap. It's potentially a good pick. So again, it depends how much your budget is, but there's also, there are other options that are cheaper than Anthony Robinson.
Yeah, it's really tough as well, isn't it? Balancing out, as we always say, who's high on the fixture ticker and the form as well. Because I'm looking at the fixture ticker now, Manchester City are up there. Gvardiol is the only one I'd potentially look at, but he feels very expensive, Sam, really.
He is. I mean, he's got 5 goals this season. He's the highest scoring defender in the league for goals. But he's only got 7 clean sheets. So when you count the number of... I counted last night when I was prepping for this. There's 19 more clean sheets for defenders across the league this season. 19 defenders with more clean sheet. So when you're looking at that level of money to spend on Gvardiol, like, it feels in my opinion, it feels like a lot. Now, all right, you look at the fixtures and game week 30 is perfect, isn't it? So you've got Leicester, who just aren't scoring any goals at the moment. So you'd expect there to be the potential for a clean sheet there. But then when you look at the fixtures that follow, although most of them are, you know, nicely coloured on the ticker because Manchester City are usually so good, but it's Manchester United, who you could definitely see Bruno getting something in that one. Crystal Palace, who regularly are scoring goals at the moment. Everton, who, you know, okay, in attack, they aren't so great. But then Villa, it's only really those last couple of weeks, the Wolves, Southampton, and then Fulham maybe in 38, but then there's Bournemouth in 37. Like, realistically, how many clean sheets do we think that there is for Guardiola in that time? And he's got 5 goals this season, but over the course of the season, that's not a huge amount. So I'm going to be avoiding the Man City defence. We'll talk about this next week, but I might even avoid Manchester City altogether, even though they're second on the fixture ticker, which feels ridiculous.
I really wanted to ask Jules another question then, but that is just the perfect mic drop, let's end the pod moment, because that's a nice bold statement to leave it on. We should also, though, I can't end the pod because I do want to hear your best 5 defenders overall. Let's bear in mind that people don't have £150 million to play with or a ridiculous. Some people who've been really clever with their team value might have a little bit more than others, but let's try and help out those that don't have a high team value at this point of the season when you're suggesting them. Go on, Jules, who would you go with?
So I would go probably for Saliba, obviously, my brother, one of the Forest defenders. So again, depending on your budget, Williams or Milenkovic, probably. I go for Kerkez, I go for Livramento, and the fifth one, I'm not too sure. Maybe Munoz.
It's not too far off my current defense.
Maybe Munoz.
No, just
maybe
for you.
Maybe Munoz. I'm very upset by that, right? Well, Munoz was my first pick on my
you
list
have five
of 5.
Munoz, if you Munoz. Could, 5 Munozes. Does he have brothers?
Jules, if I could have 5 for him, I absolutely would. He knows straight all 5 of them.
He ticks all the boxes, really, for a defender, doesn't he?
Every box, there's no red flags either. He's perfect. So Daniel Munoz, first pick. And then, like Jules, I'm torn on the Williams-Milenkovic thing. It would literally come down to, when creating the team, do I have the budget? If I've got the budget, I go for Milenkovic. If I don't, I go for Williams. I'd have Gabriel, I'd have Kerkez. The fifth one, again, I'm finding a struggle because I don't want to double up on the Newcastle defence because I think there's better options elsewhere, particularly if I've got Pope between the sticks, which is my plan. Connor Bradley, we didn't mention, he's the one player from Liverpool that, if he's fit and available, and that's another benefit of waiting till 31 for this, is that you might get some more information. If he's back with Trent out, maybe he's an option. But it would just come down, to be honest, the fifth defender is literally just going to be who has got a good fixture in the week I want a bench boost, because otherwise they're going to sit on the bench. So it's going to be a nice cheap option with a decent fixture in bench boost week. So probably in 32 or 33.
Okay. That is where we'll actually leave it this time, even though I really wanted that Manchester City line to be where we ended the pod. I did need to round off the chat by finding out who your defenders were. Hopefully everyone listening to that has found it really useful, because there's so many people, if you're not wildcarding now, you're likely to be wildcarding in the next few weeks. So maybe you can even go back and listen to this pod nearer the time. Maybe by then everything that we'll said will be irrelevant, knowing our luck. We'll, half of them will get injured or something. But yeah, thank you, Jules. Thank you very much, Sam. We'll be back again, same time, same place, well, remotely, next Thursday, with a kind of look ahead, I guess, to the FA Cup in terms of what might have changed. And we'll be that little bit closer to the deadline for game week 30, which is, of course, in the midweek following. So it's like 2 weeks almost from now, a long time to go with that FPL. But hopefully we can be here to fill your FPL fix. Thanks, as always, for listening. We'll see you next week, guys.